Good evening, everyone. Tonight's learning is sponsored by Sandra Gradko in memory of her mother, Brindel Bas Eliezer Yaakov Zechron Levracha Yossi and Litz Muscat, in memory of Yossi's mother, Yocheved Bas Harav Eliyahu Zechron Levracha, Judith Werblowski in memory of her mother, Rebetzin Alta Chava Malka Bas Harav Avram Yosef Zechron Levracha. I want to circle back to a comment that the Ramchal makes at the very beginning of Perek Dalet of the Mesilas Yesharim, as promised. And that's a comment, it's really just a one-liner that he elucidates in the sections that we've been discussing. But I think it's one that a lot of people do directly or indirectly think about and is worth further exploring. It's the line at the very beginning of the Perek, where he says, Hinei Masha, maybe Esa Adam Aderech Klal El Hazehirus. He says, if you want to know what exactly is the pathway to acquiring Zehirus, remember, the title of this Perek, Perek Dalet, is called B'derek Kenias HaZehirus, how you acquire Zehirus. If you want to know how to do it, he says, Hu Limud HaTorah. The way you do it is through learning Torah. Hu Masha Amar Rabbi Pinchas B'tchilas Abraisa, Torah Mevi'a Lidei Zehirus. And if you remember, he's basing this whole, the whole structure of the Mesilas Yesharim is based on Abraisa and Mesechus Avodah Zarah, about different stages of spiritual growth. And the Braisa begins with the words, Torah Mevi'a Lidei Zehirus, that Torah, it is Torah study that gets you started on that spiritual odyssey, and that leads to the first step, the first Mida, in terms of one's spiritual growth. The question that he goes on to discuss tangentially, but not so directly, is how? Why is it that learning Torah somehow leads to character refinement and sets you on this spiritual odyssey or spiritual journey that sets you moving from one rung to the next on this ladder of character refinement and acquisition of Midos Tovos? So he does discuss it a little bit, and he harkens back to something that he said in the Hakdama, into the introduction of the Mesilas Yesharim. He says, "Amnam al derech prat, hamevi lazeh hu isbonenos al chomer ha'avoda shechayev ba ha'adam ve'omek hadin aleha, v'yetze lo, min zeh min ha'iyun, b'ma'asim ha'ksuvim b'sifrei ha'kodesh, u'min ha'limur b'ma'amari ha'chamim zechon al-mavracha ha'morerim al-zeh." He says, really, the Torah learning that this refers to is the initial contemplations that he was outlining at the beginning, thinking about what your purpose is here, and what is life all about, and what are we doing, and why are we here, and those kinds of questions. And he says, you can learn through Torah answers to those questions. There are many ma'amari chazal, there are many ma'amari chachamim that speak directly to those questions. And the Ramchal says, when Torah is what leads you to the Zehirus, he at least partially confines the Torah study to those more overtly ethical, character-based areas of Torah. But of course, if you would just look at the Braisa in a vacuum, it would assert that Torah study, in its broadest sense, without qualification, without restriction, is something that leads to character development. And I think it's a fair question to ask why and how. I think it's something that a lot of people ask when studying, let's say, Halacha or Gemara. How did these back and forth discussions about esoterica in terms of the nuances and details, the minutia of the halakhic legal code, how does that lead to any form of character refinement? And of course, that's a long discussion, but let's spend a little time talking about it. Of course, on one level, Torah is something that we believe to be self-justifying, and the purpose is not just character refinement. That's what we call Torah Lishma. That's a concept that's elucidated in Sha'ar Dalet, the fourth section of the Nefesh HaChaim, of Rav Chaim Volozhiner's famous work, in which he describes that Torah is self-justifying, much akin to what we said a few weeks back when we were talking about just doing things because they are right. We believe that Torah is self-justifying. At the same time, Torah is identified as a means towards character improvement. Why and how, I think, speaks to a question that there really have been different perspectives on at different stages of human history, and I think Torah has a unique contribution in this regard as well. And that is the question as to whether or not there is ethical value to intellectual refinement. Is there any ethical imperative? Is there anything you gain, morally speaking, from intellectual refinement, from refinement of one's mind? I think the contemporary perspective, if you'd ask people, is no, not necessarily. Your ethical conduct is primarily measured by how you treat others and your actions and your choices. And that's something that I think Torah wouldn't disagree with. Of course, one of the primary assessment of one's character and who you are and whether you are righteous or wicked is based on how you treat others and what choices you make and what actions you perform and the like. But is there any ethical component to intellectual refinement? I think most people nowadays intuitively think that the answer is no. They think that religion should be about chesed, doing nice things for others, maybe tefillah, talking to Hashem or engaging in some form of meditation, people just are baffled by why the study of Torah is considered a spiritual enterprise or religiously meaningful exercise. But if you go back to other points in human history, it was kind of assumed intuitively that intellectual refinement was something morally meaningful. Certainly, we have valued Limud HaTorah from the very beginning of Matan Torah at Har Sinai, but Lahavdil, it was picked up by other cultures as well. The Greeks very much valued intellectual refinement as a kind of moral value. You have the philosophical schools in Athens and the like that were perceived to be, again, some kind of moral refinement. For much of human history, it was priests, again, Lahavdil, Elif, Alpha, Avdolos, you deal with the Catholic Church. It was always the priests that were people who explored science and mathematics, and they were the ones who were the repository of wisdom in the Western world was in monasteries for a long time. They were the ones who were studying. Other cultures assumed that there is value to refinement of the intellect. Now, of course, we take no stock in why they thought there was value, but it does come to show that it wasn't taken as counterintuitive in many points of human history. In many points of human history, it was assumed that intellectual refinement was morally valuable. Now, what is that moral value? And why do we so often not perceive it today? To me, that moral value lies in the fact that the intellect is a very powerful tool for linking us to the Ribono Shel Olam. The Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim tries to identify what it is that distinguishes us from the beasts of the field. What makes humanity unique? Why is humanity different? In Mishneh Torah, in Tshuva Perakei, he highlights free will, Bechira Chofshis, as that which distinguishes us from the beast of the field. But in the Mor Nevuchim, he focuses on the intellect. He says what our thinking capabilities, what our consciousness, what our ability to arrive at deep truths enables us to do is to elevate ourselves over the rest of life on this planet and to link ourselves to something much greater, to something much, much larger than everything else. And if you think of it intuitively, to a large degree, I think many of us would say that that's what makes man unique among all the life of the planet. We are able to discern and understand deep truths that your dog or your cat cannot. That is largely what distinguishes us, and for the Rambam's perspective, it's largely what links us to the Ribono Shel Olam, which means that the way you use your intellect can be indeed a very powerful tool for achieving a connection with the Borei Olam. Why don't people achieve it? Understand? Why don't people perceive it that way nowadays? I think there are a couple of reasons for it. I think one is because, unfortunately, in the last 100, 200 years, we've seen people of great learning and understanding commit some of the most horrific atrocities in human history. Rav Lichtenstein once said that the allure of Torah Umada, he felt, was dampened by the Holocaust. You had the people who were considered these paragons of virtue and culture who all of a sudden engaged in, again, the most horrific crimes in human history. But I think part of it is also just because we live in a society that's grown increasingly base, materialistic, and narrowly self-interested. They did a study, and I don't know the details of this, I only heard about it secondhand, where they conducted a poll of college students as to why it was they were seeking higher education. And they took this poll like a couple of decades ago, and the answers were varied: to gain a perspective on life, to have some kind of philosophy of the world, to understand my place in the world. Those were the kinds of answers that were given a few decades ago when you asked college students why they're pursuing higher education. Nowadays, there is one answer that is the dominant answer as to why students pursue higher education. Why? Because I want a six-figure salary. Because I want a six-figure salary. I make more money if I get a higher education. Like, it's just a means towards an end. And I think that's how many of us think about education at large. And whether that's true of secular studies or not, certainly when it comes to Torah, that's not the case. We believe that Torah is something that refines us, that elevates us. When you study the Dvar Hashem, you're studying Hashem's moral code. There's a refinement that comes with that understanding, if you're sensitive to it, if you're not just like studying it as an academic enterprise just because you find it to be an intellectual curiosity, but you actually appreciate what it is you're studying and the immense moral value of what it is you're studying. That has a moral impact. That has an ethical impact. And I think understanding that trend, both in terms of the Torah's perspective on the ability to use the intellect to connect with Hashem, and also understanding the way in which that sensitivity or that appreciation has slipped, it poses a major responsibility to be mindful of how we use our intellect over the course of the day. Sometimes I can tell you that in the bustle of modern technology, sometimes I just feel like there is so much noise going on inside my skull. so much stupidity, so much narishkeit. And just because it's just all around us, not because we're necessarily seeking it out, maybe sometimes we do, but just every time you open your phone and you go to Google, there's like a million headlines, and it's either the latest mudslinging in politics or the latest celebrity gossip, and I promise you, I don't engage in much celebrity gossip, but it just hits you. It's just targeted at you from all sides. It's just, it gets in there. Sometimes I really just feel like I need to just quiet my own mind because there's just so much going on in there. Certainly when I'm trying to daven, that happens. And sometimes it's not when I'm trying to daven. I'm just trying to sit quietly, and there's just so much noise. Because when the intellect is no longer a tool towards moral and ethical improvement, but it's just another means towards distraction and entertainment, we lose that appreciation for that powerful tool in connecting us with the Borei Olam. So the Ramchal tells us that we have to appreciate Torah study. Of course, Torah study lishma for its own benefit, but also as a means towards spurring us towards character improvement and ethical growth. Because when we do indeed appreciate our mind, which is a gift from Hashem, and its immense potential to connect us to Him, we can indeed use it to spur us to Zahirus and the subsequent stages in that ladder of ultimate character development and spiritual refinement.